Luxury living begins with your move to Mason, Preferred Living's newest community in the desirable New Albany area. Your suite features soaring ceilings, White Valley granite countertops, and spa-inspired bathrooms. With amenities like a multi-tier year-round pool and hydrotherapy spa, Trackman golf simulators, a private screening room, and complimentary Starbucks coffee, every day feels like a retreat. Learn more and schedule your tour at livepreferred.com.
The savings are stacked at Sleep Outfitters. Right now, save up to $800 store-wide on top brands you know and trust. Plus, buy one, get one free deals so you can upgrade sleep for your entire family. And get a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. With 0% interest financing and free delivery available, getting better sleep has never been easier. And with our exclusive lifetime price guarantee, you'll always know you got the best deal. Save big today at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com or a location near you.
Hi everyone, it's Kevin J, the best thing since cinnamon. And you're listening to Therapy Suite right here on UKIS Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I welcome back Edwina Jenner, personal trainer to women regarding health and weights. Welcome to the show, Edwina. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Gavin. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for coming back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us, just remind us a bit about your background and, you know, and tell us how you got to where you are today.
So I basically trained as a PT, personal trainer, back in 2017, and I opened my own studio. And I had a focus then of helping women to learn to lift weights. So I wanted to help move women away from cardio equipment and running and spin, although that has its place, but to start to learn to lift weights, learn to squat and deadlift and to strengthen their body as opposed to just being this constant mindset of losing weight. So I opened up my own studio, did really, really well there. We then got hit by COVID, obviously. Everything stopped. And then I brought my training back online. And then by that stage, I started focusing a bit on the menopause market, sort of women more in their mid-40s to mid-50s. And I've kind of gone full circle, really, in terms of looking at the menopause market and health. And then now I've come back to online training.
Brilliant. So how's that online training going?
Yeah, really well. Really, really well. Got a good social media following, which is fantastic. And then I'm about to launch a new program. Where are we? About the last week of February, I'm launching it. So, yeah, four live training sessions a week. So I'm really excited.
Sounds brilliant. Tell us a bit about, you know, why did you train to become a personal trainer at 40?
A couple of reasons. First of all, I've always been really passionate about fitness. So I'd always been a runner and I'd done a little bit of sort of weight training myself, but not a lot. It's essentially cardio, which I think a lot of women of my generation, sort of 70s and 80s babies, did. That's what we kind of grew up with. It was all really about particularly, you know, being thin, being smaller. And the way to do that was through cardio. And then I realized I got to my sort of 40, 41 and a couple of things. Number one, the impact of running on my body. I could sort of start to feel my joints starting to ache a little bit. And number two, it's like I didn't really like being, feeling weak, I guess is probably, which is essentially how I felt. So I remember going to the gym one day and I saw this woman. She must have been in her late 40s and she looked fantastic. She had a very sort of lean, muscular physique. And I walked up to her and I'm like, how do you get your body? Like, what do you do? And she goes, oh, I lift weights. And I was like, oh my God, like what do you mean you lift weights? I had associated weights with bodybuilding, you know, and big and bulky. She's like, no, I lift weights. And I was like, well, will you train me? Will you show me? Yeah, and she did. And I ended up training with her twice a week for a couple of years, maybe a year. And then about a year in, I'm like, I actually want to pass this message on. Like I literally want to get all those women off the treadmill and I want to get them on the gym floor. And I know how intimidating that space is. It's a very male-dominated space. It certainly was 6 years ago. I think it's a lot more female-orientated now. But I thought I really want to spread this message. So I trained to become a PT and then that was really, really how it began. It was sort of quite organic, I suppose.
It's brilliant. I think it's good that it's growing now in more popularities. Would that be right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'd certainly say, I think at the time when I did it, so what are we looking at, 2017, 2018, you certainly weren't seeing as many women, you know, in the strength training area, in the weights area. But now in the gym, I mean, there's like particularly Gen Z, like they've come up with that message of like, you know, strong, not skinny. Whereas I think my generation, as I said, it's like when I go to the gym, I tend to be one of the oldest women in the gym, but the Gen Zs, like they're packed in the weights area. So I still think the message is, it's got through to my generation, but I still think it needs work. Whereas I think the younger generation is, it's just second nature. It's like, yeah, we run or we cycle and we lift weights.
Gosh. And I can imagine it must be, it's a good rush, isn't it? When you're pushing the weights and, you know, all the rest of it, you know?
Yeah, if you're lifting the plates, feeling strong. No, it's great. And there's a progression as well. You know, you can sort of, some weeks you're stronger than other weeks, of course, but you can certainly see your progression in how much you're lifting. And I mean, I think, you know, there's also this conception we might get into a bit later about, you know, women getting big and bulky when you lift weights, but it's like, I tend to now, I've been lifting weights for about 6 or 7 years, lift roughly the same weights, but it's like, I want to preserve the muscle mass that I have. And I don't necessarily need to lift heavier weights every single week. I just kind of, I'm at a point now where I'm happy with the muscle that I've got and I just stick with where I am. And that works well for me.
Fantastic. There's a common misconception that if women lift weights, they think they will become bulky, like an 80s bodybuilder. What are your thoughts around that?
I think, honestly, I don't think you could if you tried. I think in terms of if you look at those physique models, as they call them up on stage, and the bikini models, you know, they have trained like athletes for, you know, months and months, some of them years, to get that physique, and they have killed off any sort of social life. Their diet is counted down to the last macro, including the time that they eat and how much water they drink. You know, to get to that very, very defined bulky, is what I would probably describe it, physique, requires a really intentional training program and hours of training each week. I mean, but by doing, you know, lifting some weights as I do 3 times a week for an hour a week or, you know, 50 minutes a week, I mean, it's like chalk and cheese. It's like, it's just, you would have to train to like an athlete's level to do that. It's almost like saying, you know, I'm worried that if I go into the kitchen for the first time, I might become a chef. You know, it's like you've got to be really, really intentional with your time and your dedication to training. So I think hopefully that is dying down a lot. But I mean, I still do get questions a little bit like that about, you know, will I get bulky? It's like, no, you'll get lovely, lean muscle.
Brilliant. And, I mean, the whole thing with 80s bodybuilders and now, is that still a thing, like, to get that big, basically?
Well, I think probably in the male community. I mean, I think, yeah, there's a whole industry there, and also in the female community as well. I mean, it's not something that I've ever aspired to be or do, but I certainly, you know, there's the Arnie fans aren't there, and I'm sure there probably always will be people that want to compete at that level. But I think for a woman like me in midlife who is looking to look after her health and manage her weight, you know, there has got to be an element of strength training in there. It's, you know, it's absolutely vital, essentially.
No, of course. And basically, in terms of what are the biggest challenges for women, do you think, in midlife when it comes to managing weight?
I think a lot of people would expect me as a PT to say, oh, it's food and training. And yes, there is that is an element of that. But I think before all of that comes stress. I think women of our generation, so, you know, mid-40s and whatnot, you know, we're called the sandwich generation, and that's not for nothing because, you know, we are right at the point where our children are sort of older teenage children, so they're kind of leaving the nest, but they're not. Kids are staying at home a lot longer. They tend to have quite high emotional needs, particularly now as well. We've then got aging parents to manage, and, you know, we're at a point in our 40s and 50s where we've also got menopause, so huge hormonal shifts to manage personally as well. And then we're working longer hours. We've been in marriages for a very long time by this stage, and marriages that might be under pressure. And so, you know, this means that we're always juggling. We're always having to juggle, you know, the spinning plates. And I think, therefore, food and exercise comes into it, but it's also about learning ways to be able to calm yourself and calm, emotionally regulate. Because if we have an emotionally dysregulated nervous system, then our bodies are going to be flooded with cortisol and they're going to be inflamed, and that's going to have us reaching for, you know, sugary snacks and alcohol for distraction, trying to calm ourselves down. So I think in the first port of call, if we can take an inventory of our life and what's going on and what's really causing us stress, then that can go a really long way in helping us to look at where we're getting habits and things into our life that may not be really beneficial to us, which is, you know, probably drinking the wine every night or the sugary snacks. So stress, I think stress plays a key element in terms of women struggling with their weight. And also in midlife, you know, we're just getting older, and because of menopause, our metabolism takes a bit of a hit. So all of that accelerates as we're coming into midlife. So combined with the external stresses of life I was just talking about, we can be hit from all sides.
From working with your clients, what do you think is the biggest stress out of them all?
Gosh, I think it's quite varied. I think it can be, I think aging parents is a big one, you know, worrying about, you know, parents and concerns. Money is big, you know, cost of living at the moment. It's, you know, also a lot of worry about our children, you know, our older teens and in their young 20s, a lot of sort of more, I would say, you know, mental health concerns as well. You know, there's a lot going on for them. So I think in terms of the women, we tend to be like the emotional vessel for everyone, you know, for the kids, for our parents. You know, we're working much, much longer. I mean, they keep pushing the retirement age back. And we just still, you know, again, you still can't discount menopause as well. So if you're, depending on how you're choosing to tackle that with or without HRT, it's it can just be a difficult landscape. But I think in terms of the biggest stress, it could be any one of those things, Gavin. Literally, it could be the kids, it could be the parents, it could be money, you know, relationships. It's a lot.
It sounds like it's either one or a combination of things.
One or, yeah, absolutely. It can be a mixed bag. A mixed bag, yeah, absolutely.
From your clients, do you hear much about, like, do they talk to you about, like, comfort eating or anything like that?
Yeah, and they're very honest about it, because I'd like to think that I really create that very safe, non-judgmental space for them. It's a case of, you know, talk to me, what's going on with you, because as I'll quite often say, it's not the food that's a problem. Like, the biscuits can sit there or the wine can sit there. Like, we can all have a biscuit and a glass of wine. That's not the problem. It's like, why are we turning to that every time that we're not coping with something stressful in our life? So, they are very open and honest. There's no point coming to me and saying, oh, I eat salmon and eggs and broccoli and, you know, you're carrying a lot of extra weight and feeling really low on confidence and self-esteem. And my job is to help you and look at what's going on and go, okay, well, how can we tweak things? How can we move things? You know, I'm not about taking enjoyment away. I want lifestyle changes. You know, I'd rather you switch out a Mars bar for a chocolate protein bar or something like that, just so you're getting a little bit of less sugar, or a Coke for a Diet Coke. You know, it's just about making sustainable lifestyle changes, not taking out all enjoyment.
Of course.
Life's too short.
No, absolutely. But do you hear that, maybe whether it's your clients or other people, do they turn much to alcohol and smoking due to the stresses going on?
Alcohol and sugar.
Ah.
Smoking less so. I don't hear about a lot of smoking, actually. That's quite interesting.
That's interesting,
Yeah, I think we all kind of, a lot of us binned it off a few years ago. I mean, I know the kids probably vape more, but no, alcohol, it's either alcohol and or sugar. So it's either like I'm really stressed, so I have a drink, and then when I have a drink, I then have sugar or savoury, you're either one or the other. Or it's just so therefore I've got the double whammy, or it's like I'm really stressed and I head for one or the other.
Oh, right, you know, okay.
Some people might not like drink the alcohol, but they find comfort in the sugary snacks. And an interesting, you know, kind of take on that is like I was saying, you know, women are being pushed and pulled in all directions, and the only thing that isn't asking anything from them that gives them a bit of peace is, you know, a glass of wine – or something sweet that gives them some comfort and just, you know, a little bit of respite in the moment. So I can see it's completely understandable. It's just for our health, you know, carrying excess weight at this age now is like really damaging for women. You know, having that excess abdominal fat, that visceral fat, is very it's like kryptonite for us, and can lead to a lot of nasty health concerns like type 2 diabetes or cardiovascular or heart disease. So, you know, it's not about getting into a pair of jeans. It's like really about protecting your long-term health outcomes.
No, of course. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Luxury living begins with your move to Mason, Preferred Living's newest community in the desirable New Albany area. Your suite features soaring ceilings, White Valley granite countertops, and spa-inspired bathrooms. With amenities like a multi-tier year-round pool and hydrotherapy spa, Trackman golf simulators, a private screening room, and complimentary Starbucks coffee, every day feels like a retreat. Learn more and schedule your tour at livepreferred.com.
Sleep better and save big right now at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $800 store-wide. Get buy one, get one free deals, plus a free adjustable base on select mattresses. With 0% interest financing, free delivery, and our exclusive lifetime price guarantee, you can't miss this. Only at Sleep Outfitters.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So thanks for that insight, Edwina, so far, talking about stresses and challenges, etc. What can people do to help manage their stress better?
I think there's a few things. I mean, first of all, it's just becoming aware of it. So what, you know, where in my life is there the most amount of stress? So is it, you know, when my husband walks in and he's on his phone and doesn't pay me any attention or acknowledge how my day is? Is it because my, you know, daughter comes in and is rude, or my something going on with my parents? It's like acknowledging where your biggest stress load is and just becoming a bit of aware about that, about how you can protect yourself and, you know, perhaps put up some boundaries. And then the other thing, you know, the other key part really in terms of looking after our health is, you know, the mindfulness piece. So, you know, it's like, how can I carve out a little bit of time where I can just, you know, take a moment to reflect and see what's going on in my life? And that can be done a number of ways. It could be done through journaling. So journaling is a really, really powerful tool because it allows us to get clarity on stressful situations. It allows us to get some perspective and space from our thoughts. And it allows us also to gain insight into, you know, what it is that we're exactly needing when we're, you know, in a stressful situation. So, you know, when we write, everything has to slow down. We can't write as quickly as we think. And so by journaling regularly, you know, even just 10 minutes a day, that can really give you a good window into where you're carrying a lot of stress load in your life and how you can perhaps handle it a little differently. And then other ways are like meditation, of course, and I know lots of people say I don't have time to meditate, or, you know, when I meditate, I'm writing my shopping list and I've got too many things to do. But they tend to say, you know, if you don't have 10 minutes to meditate, then you should meditate for an hour. It's like it's a really powerful skill to learn, and there's so many wonderful YouTube-free videos. Deepak Chopra, I mean, he's probably the best in the world at this, and just going and doing it 10 minutes a day with a free YouTube video and him taking you through a guided meditation is a really powerful thing to do as well. So there's journaling, meditation, and then it's down to things like walks in nature, just getting outside, getting away from the tech, getting, you know, looking up, what can I see, touch, hear, taste, smell. You know, it's another thing, you know, bring yourself back into the present moment, getting your feet on the grass, grounding, they call it, or earthing. Yeah, that just brings us, can really help to regulate our nervous system. So trying to find a mindfulness tool that you can use regularly is a really powerful thing you can do for yourself.
Would yoga be another good one?
Yeah, yoga is wonderful. Absolutely. I think I'm more thinking on the spec if you don't have an hour to carve out and to get to a yoga class or to do a yoga class. And if it's just something that you need to, I guess, in addition to exercise that you can do to that's quick, and you can just do 10 to 15 minutes of something mindfulness like that regularly can really be a lovely addition to your exercise, be that yoga or strength training or whatever you choose to do.
Fantastic. Yeah, because I mean, I've heard people talk about how yoga helps, and you're right, meditation, and there's been a number of times on the show where people mention about journaling. I've heard that it kind of is offloading, you know, just that kind of thing. Would that be right?
Yeah, journaling can be. I mean, I'm a big advocate of journaling. It's a really powerful tool because it's that, you know, journaling is very cathartic. It allows you to release what you're carrying, and you know, if you're not. There's a lot of many scientific studies about how when we just write, if there's something that's really troubling us, you're able to just really get a step back and gain a much deeper insight into exactly what it is that's going on for you. So it's that clarity piece, that insight and that self-awareness piece that journaling can really give you some answers. And there's, you know, very powerful journal prompts as well that if, you know, you're not sure where to start or, you know, how to begin. Having a little journal prompt, like a question, like if I could do anything in life and I knew I wouldn't fail, you know, and it's like that. And a question like that could help you if you're, you know, feeling really overwhelmed or if you've had an argument and you've kicked off with your spouse or your child. Generally in that moment it's because you're needing something, you're needing to be seen. So you can go to your journal later on and sort of say, what was I needing in that moment? What was I needing and not getting? And by giving yourself just that quiet space to reflect, you'll get a lot more answers. And when another stressful situation arises again, you'll find yourself probably being in a bit more of a responsive mode rather than a reactive mode if you can try and keep the journaling up and just keep the self-awareness analysis up a little bit more.
No, absolutely. Sounds like it's been very beneficial for people.
Yeah, it's generally a very powerful tool. Absolutely.
Is there anything else in terms of stresses? I mean, I'm guessing doing weights in itself is like, it must be a massive stress relief in a way, because you're kind of taking out that kind of aggression or whatever it might be, or diversion on the weights.
Absolutely. And it's also, yeah, you get the endorphins hit and you're also obviously changing your environment and you have to, you know, focus your mind on what it is that you're doing, your sets and your reps, and you know, being, and you know, it's strengthening that mind body connection as well, you know, so your body's really, you know, you're really listening to how your body's moving and how you're feeling. So I mean, any form of exercise would do that, but I mean, in particular, I think weight training is, it's, there's something really gratifying about walking out of a gym and just feeling very, very strong because of the lifts that you've done.
No, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure it has many, many health benefits, you know. And do you ever feel that, because it's very personal, isn't it? You work out, people telling you about their stresses. Do you ever feel like you're kind of, your role's overlapping with maybe a counsellor or someone that has to listen, that listens to, you know, people having some challenges and problems in their life and that kind of thing?
Yeah, very much so. And I think personal trainers, I think you're very, you know, privileged in that respect, because I think you're really in a space where your clients, you know, it becomes quite an intimate space, particularly when you're, you know, one-to-one and, you know, you're teaching people and showing people how to move. And I think, you know, if you have a nice relationship with your trainer, then, you know, clients certainly do feel very trusting, and I hope that they do, and they share. And I think, you know, that was also kind of what got me leading from the PT into the health coaching, because I guess what I was hearing in my studio was women coming in, but with so many similar problems. Now, it wasn't just the weight was all a very similar problem, and the cause was generally the sugar and the alcohol. But then I was also noticing, as an aside from that, it was because they had so much stress in their life, that sandwich generation that I was talking about, and the things that they were talking about, the parents and the teens and the marriages and the money, and yeah, it's just a lot going on. So yeah, you do get to hear a lot as a PT, and you know, you certainly learn good listening skills as well. You know, I really like to just allow people. Some people, times people just need to unload as well. I think it's just nice that they feel like they're being heard and acknowledged, and they're moving their bodies at the same time. So I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to do on a bit more of a mass scale with the online training.
Absolutely, yeah. You have a program that focuses on five key areas that create a framework to sustainable health goals. Is that right?
Yeah. So I kind of obviously do the strength training through the PT, and then there's just food that naturally comes part of that. It goes hand in hand. So women will do like a food diary for me, and then we'll do some tweaks and whatnot so that they can kind of progress with their workouts. But I kind of, having just, you know, trained women online and in the studio as well, I just realized that there was this recurring theme, and I was like, I need to do a framework around this. So basically, instead of just coming to me for food and exercise, first of all, we look at your stress. So we look at their stress levels, and we, you know, talk about what's going on in their life, because if they're highly stressed, then, you know, trying to get them to eat well and exercise regularly becomes much more difficult. So it's like, okay, how can we get the stress levels down, you know, in midlife? And then the next point after that is sleep. So, you know, there's no area of our life that is unaffected by poor sleep, and women going through menopause are notoriously affected by poor sleep. So it's about trying to help them to improve their sleep hygiene, and just, you know, little tweaks then, you know, coming off your phone. I mean, so many things, reading before bed, journaling at bedtime is a great thing to do. Things like red light bulbs as well can really help to calm as well as you're going into a deep sleep. Sleep meditation is a lovely thing to do. So we start off with stress, and then we look at your sleep hygiene. We then move on to the strength part. So we do the strength program. And then the next part after that is sustenance. So looking at what they're eating, you know, what their gut health is like, prebiotics, probiotics, protein. I'm a tough coach on protein. I want them all to get enough protein to support their muscle, and fiber. So look at sustenance. And then the last piece of that puzzle, Gavin, is soul. So the soul piece, what are you doing that lights you up? What gives you joy? You know, how do you want this second act to look? What's the landscape of your life look like, and what needs to stay and what needs to go? So that's it. It's, strength, sleep, stress, sustenance, soul.
Brilliant. It's quite a good number of areas.
Yeah, it's five key areas. I don't expect all of those areas to be 10 out of 10. My areas certainly aren't 10 out of 10, but maybe you might go, do you know what? I'm training well, and I'm kind of getting my stress, trying to manage my stress because the training's helping my stress. So they're sitting about 8 out of 10 and da-da-da, and then maybe my sleep's a bit kind of, you know, shabby. That might be 5 out of 10, so I can maybe just try and bump that up a bit. And it's like they're just kind of moving parts. But I think if you've got two of those areas that are sitting really low at 2 out of 10, then that can start to have a knock-on effect of the rest of the areas. So by kind of putting those five key areas into silos, it makes it much easier to take a look at, oh, okay, this is what I can do to try and get my life to feel not so overwhelming, like I don't feel like I'm drowning.
Brilliant. We're just going to another quick ad break, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new-to-you finds. Buy, sell, repeat. Guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell with The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So basically, Edwina, what weights would you suggest a woman starts with if she has never lifted weights before?
I think that is my most asked question, Gavin. And I would say that if you have never lifted weights before and you're looking to strength train, definitely start with 2 and 4 and possibly 6. So what we want to do is we want to get you comfortable with weights, which is what a 2 kg set of weights would do, whilst you just get form and movement. And then, you know, you may stick to those 2 kg weights while we're just doing upper body. But then for the 4 and potentially the 6 kg, when we start doing squats and lunges and deadlifts and different types of moves, then I want you to use a slightly higher weight. So once we get comfortable with form, then I want you to, you know, just to be able to push yourself a bit. We need to get a bit uncomfortable to, you know, to grow. And if we're constantly just holding a 2 kg weight, you know, we're not going to get that resistance that we needed from the muscles to grow.
Of course. And consistency is good as well, isn't it? Like doing, you know, you've doing your routine when you've planned to, like, in the week do it and get into that kind of rhythm in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, consistency is key with everything. And it's like I said, you don't walk into the kitchen one day and cook a meal and you're a chef. It's like, you know, the same thing. You don't walk into a gym one day and you're fit. So it's really about, I'll say, because again, with busy lives, but it's about ring fencing that time, looking at your diary on a Sunday night and going, you know, this is like this time, that Monday, Wednesday and Thursday session or whatever it is that's happening for me. Like that is absolutely sacred, and I have got to have that time. And it's, again, it's just non-negotiable when we get to midlife. We have got to preserve the muscle that we've got, and we've got to build the lean muscle if we are to, you know, be functional as we age and in old life. And, you know, again, it's I mean, it's just so important, because the other thing that's happening in midlife, Gavin, as well, is that we're losing bone density and muscle mass. Mm-hmm. And so when we lose bone density, that means that we can start to have frail bones. And there's no way to tell if you have a frail bone until you get a bone fracture or a break later on in life, at which point then you'll go to the doctor and he'll go, oh, you've got osteoporosis. And so, yeah, we really, really want to keep that. You know, we don't. That's not what you want, because that's going to impact your life significantly. And I think it's something like one in two women over the age of 55 will have a break or a fracture. So that's an incredibly high number of women. Yeah. So that's why I'm like, get your 2s and 4s and 6 kg weights and ring fence that time, and, you know, put that time into making sure you look after that muscle mass.
Yeah, gosh, that must be horrific, you know, for the person when they break, you know, a bone or anything like that.
Absolutely, yeah. It's called sarcopenia as well. You know, those brittle bones, and it's the breaking down of muscle as well. So it's, but, you know, now is the time in our 40s and 50s as well. If it's not something that you've done, where you've got that autonomy and, you know, your body's perfectly able, that's where it's just so. And then you're really future-proofing your body. So, again, that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I'm like, it's non-negotiable. We need to invest in this. We need to, you know, you want to be able to squat now so that you can get on and off the loo safely, you know, and you want to be able to lift your luggage so that you can go traveling and get up and down the stairs. And, you know, we use this functional type of movement every single day.
No, of course. And what about food? What does a day of eating look like for you?
So I'm very focused on protein. So because protein preserves our muscle mass, number one, and number two, it's satiating, so it helps to keep our blood sugars nice and level. We don't have fluctuating blood sugars, which can cause a lot of inflammation in our body. So for me, I look to get I do a sum basically, which is a kilo of a gram of protein versus a gram of how much you weigh. So if you weigh 70 kilos, I want you to eat 70 grams of protein a day. If you weigh 90, it's like that. So, yeah, eggs, generally start with eggs, which will be a couple of eggs and some egg whites, or to get the, you know, I'm looking at getting about 30 grams of protein per meal. Lunch will be chicken, which is generally left over from the night before, or maybe some tinned tuna with some lentils and a salad and some sweet potato or something. And then dinner will generally be like a fish of some sort with some veggies. So I'm really looking at prioritizing my protein, my fiber, good fats, which I get through lots of avocado, things like goat's cheese as well, again, more protein there, and then complex carbs. So, you know, root vegetables, pulses, grains, quinoa, bulgur wheat, you know, that type of food. So really, it's a really good whole foods diet, Greek yogurt in there as well, a lot of berries and things for antioxidants, nuts and seeds, protein powder as well. I'm a big fan of protein powder, not as a meal replacement, but just as a way to increase my protein levels as well.
Fantastic. And greens are so important, aren't they?
Yeah, we need greens. We need greens for fiber and for gut health, so that, you know, to feed that gut microbiome. And because that's where our immune system lives. 70% of our immune system lives in our gut. It's where serotonin is made, you know, our happy hormones. So we want to have a nice, fully functioning gut, and that requires a good level of fiber as well. So, yeah, super important. That comes from the greens.
Of course. And what's the best way to incorporate greens if you're someone that's not too keen on it, which is, you know, because you get that, don't you?
How do you incorporate? Well, I suppose there's smoothies. I guess you could add them into smoothies of some sort. But there's so many different ways of having vegetables as well. You know, you can fry them, you can steam them, you can add lovely spices to them, you know, mix them through salads. I mean, there's so many variations. I mean, I don't think I've met someone that hasn't liked some form of green. Like there's a lot to choose from.
No, of course. I'm just saying that because sometimes I've heard people say, oh, you know, not too keen on greens, and, you know, they need other ways of kind of being able to kind of take that in, if that makes sense, you know?
Okay. Well, then I would probably suggest through a smoothie then, because you can drown out the taste of a, you know, the green taste through, you know, powders and, I guess, different other flavours. I haven't really had a smoothies for a long time, but that's probably how you could do it.
And what's your favorite movement if you had to choose one that every woman had to do consistently?
That is a hard one, actually. I would probably say the squat, because we, you know, it's a compound movement, or, you know, using every muscle, it's doing your quads, hamstrings, back. I mean, yeah, possibly the squat, but then I'm also, and your glutes as well. And then, yeah, I probably say the squat, actually. I just sort of think about, I suppose I think about getting up and down. That's probably the most functional movement. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I just saw actually last night that Macmillan Cancer Fund are doing a squat 100 times a day challenge for 30 days, which I thought was good. So I'm thinking, like, yeah, it's got to be the squat for everyone, really.
Gosh, yeah, that is a difficult one, isn't it? When you start stacking weights, especially, and doing squats and all the rest of it, that gets tough.
Yeah, it does. But you can do them like with dumbbells on your side, by your side, and goblet, and, you know, different variations.
No, of course. And finally, if a woman wants three easy top tips for starting out managing her weight and improving her health in midlife, What would you suggest?
I would say, first of all, I would say start a food diary just for a week. So start, you know, Monday through to Sunday, because we tend to, you know, eat differently on the weekend, and just really be very specific about, you know, be totally honest about everything that you're eating, the times that you're eating, and you'll start to get a real picture about, you know, you might find that you're, you know, there's a gap that you might eat something at 10 in the morning and you're not eating again till 5. And then all of a sudden between 5 and 7, you're literally doing a whole day's worth of calories as you're preparing dinner because you're starving. Then you're having dinner and then maybe something else afterwards. And it's like, that's like such an easy fix, because we can so easily add things in further during the day so that you're not getting that blood sugar dip and not getting that sort of that hangry at the end of the day. So, yeah, a food diary can give you a really good idea of what's going on. And then I would say top three, the second one would be just getting out and walking. Yeah, but walking, you know, like not like strolling, like going out just for a good walk, getting your heart rate up, because you're getting A, the exercise, and B, you're getting out in nature. So you're killing two birds with one stone there. And then the last thing I would do is trying to introduce some sort of self-care practice. So I really would, you know, encourage, be that journaling, meditation, something that you can just get a little bit of time to put aside to just work out where the stress is in your day. And then, you know, from these kind of three areas from here, I'd then start to build up on the strength training and the nutrition side of things. But I think that these three key things very much come under that kind of stress pillar, which is my first pillar, which I'll always address first. So, yeah, the food diary, walking in nature, and one little thing that you can start to do a day to help calm yourself.
Fantastic. I think walking is so underrated. It's such a useful tool, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, I have to get out every day. I mean, luckily I've got a dog, so she makes me get out, rain, hail or shine. But, yeah, getting out every day into nature, I mean, it's just like a must.
No, absolutely. I think it's brilliant. And I think it's good for blood circulation as well, you know?
Absolutely. And I think it's also, there's a term I've heard which is called like forest bathing, which is essentially walking in nature. But I just was like, oh, isn't that's so lovely, actually, bathing in the trees. Yeah, and also, I mean, there's so many studies to say as well, like how getting out in nature is such a stress release. You know, it's so good for your nervous system, getting out into nature, and helps gives us perspective as well, doesn't it? There's, you know, much bigger world out there than the problems that we have on our plate.
Absolutely. And I think walking also is good for the immune system as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't go wrong. It's wonderful. Walking's fantastic. Great stress reliever.
Edwina, thank you so much for today. Really appreciate your time and the information. Really helpful.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely chatting, Gavin.
If people want to touch base with you, where's best to kind of reach you, like maybe through social media or wherever it might be?
Yeah, so it's Instagram, so it's Edwina Jenner Coaching, and then Facebook is Edwina Jenner Health Coach. They wouldn't let me have the same name, unfortunately. But Edwina Jenner, you'll find me on Instagram, basically.
No worries. Well, look, thank you again for your time today.
Thanks so much, Gavin. It's lovely. Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners. You know where you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk. This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at WeightWatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.